DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
She looks set to be the Democratic nominee for the next president of the United States, but who is Kamala Harris? What's her background, and does she stand a chance against Donald Trump? Well, let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Explain with myself, Sean Defoe. Don't forget to subscribe and share the good word about the podcast far and wide. This week, there's only really one story in town across the world, and that's what's happening in the United States. Joe Biden has pulled out of the race, and it looks all but certain that Kamala Harris will be the one to replace him on the Democratic ticket. But who is Harris? She's been a bit anonymous to those of us on this side of the Atlantic, so here's her story. Bum, 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 bum. She was born the daughter of immigrants in Oakland, California in October 1964, and much has been made of the pronunciation of her name, which is Kamala, like a comma, Kamala, Kamala. Her father, Donald, came from Jamaica to study economics and is now a professor emeritus at Stanford University, while her mother, Shyamala, came from southern India and was a breast cancer researcher who died in 2009. Kamala's name means lotus flower, apparently, in a nod to her Indian roots, and the lotus flower is said to be a symbol for strength, resilience and rebirth, all of which she'll need in this campaign. She moved for a while to Montreal in Canada, where she attended high school and apparently founded a dance troupe, according to her yearbook. Harris then went to Howard University in Washington, D.C., where she earned a degree in political science and economics before returning to California to study law. She decided to try to become a state prosecutor, something she felt that she had to defend to black friends and family who had an understandably negative view of law enforcement in the state. Having worked as a deputy district attorney in Alameda County, she was then elected as the DA of San Francisco in 2004.
Well, Kamala Harris is San Francisco's first woman district attorney and the first African-American woman to hold the office in California. Her new book, Smart on Crime, A Career Prosecutor's Plan to Make Us Safer, offers some new solutions to fighting crime in our communities. So welcome,
Thank you,
Kamala
Bella.
Harris.
Thank you.
You know, we were talking about education over there just a few minutes ago. And in your book, education plays a big part. How do you connect education and crime fighting and smart crime fighting?
Well, essentially it all boils down to the public health model, which tells us that the best way to deal with an epidemic is prevention. It's least costly and most effective. If we lose that, then let's get into early intervention once the sniffles start or once we see signs. And if we are at the point, however, of dealing with the epidemic in the emergency room, it's much too late and it's much too costly.
Then in 2011, she became the Attorney General of California, the first black person, woman and Asian American to do so. Arguably, her biggest achievement in office was to secure a multi-billion dollar payment package from the major banks, charging them with wrongly foreclosing on homes during the crisis of the early 2010s.
This morning, we are very proud to announce a tremendous victory for California. As a result of 13 months of intense discussions, sometimes battle, we have delivered to California $18 billion in relief for California's homeowners.
Harris has sold her record as someone who is smart on crime, being tough but reforming.
When we're talking about serious and violent crime, lock them up. But when we're talking about nonviolent crime, that is actually the crime that is occupying the bulk of our public resources and beds in our state prison system. And we need to have a meaningful system to reduce the likelihood that that revolving door will continue.
But her record has drawn criticism from both sides of the political divide. Here's how CBS News viewed it in 2020 when her nomination as vice president was confirmed.
She did not turn out to be, from our perspective, the progressive prosecutor that she promised to be when many of us supported her.
David Campos is a former member of San Francisco's Police Commission, which oversees the police department. He also worked with Harris when they were both deputy city attorneys.
Do you believe that she sided with the police too much?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe that she did not do enough to hold law enforcement accountable.
As the state's attorney general, Harris did not intervene in a series of high-profile officer-involved shootings. But she's also faced criticism from police unions. In 2004, she refused to seek the death penalty for a man who killed a San Francisco officer.
Frankly, there are those who would like to put my experience as a prosecutor into a negative. But I'm going to tell you, as a prosecutor, I am very proud of my record.
Harris won praise for creating a state database of crime statistics that included the use of force by police. She also began requiring state Justice Department agents to wear body cameras.
I am one of the first elected prosecutors in the country to have started a reentry initiative focused on first-time drug sales offenders.
In 2016, as Donald Trump was being elected U.S. president, the prosecutor became politician, with Kamala Harris elected to the Senate.
So guys, here's the deal. Our ideals are at stake right now. And we all have to fight for who we are. Because here's the thing. This process and where we are right now in the history of our country, I believe is a pivotal moment in the history of our country. I believe we're at an inflection point. I believe we are at a place that is similar to that place in time when my parents met when they were graduate students at UC Berkeley in the 60s and active in the civil rights movement. I believe this is that moment in time that many of us in our personal lives have faced, when we had to look in a mirror because of circumstances and a situation. We had to look in a mirror, and with furrowed brow, we asked a question: who are we?
Kamala Harris won praise during her time in Senate committee hearings for her no-nonsense questioning, particularly in the hearings around Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and her strong stance on abortion rights.
Can you think of any laws that give government the power to make decisions about the male body?
I'm happy to answer a more specific question. But
male versus female.
There are medical procedures.
Okay. That the government has the power to make a decision about a man's body?
I thought you were asking about medical procedures that are unique to men.
I'll repeat the question. Can you think of any laws that give the government the power to make decisions about the male body?
I'm not thinking of any right now, Senator.
4 years later, she threw her hat into the ring to be president, trying to get the Democratic nomination.
I stand before you today to announce my candidacy for president of the United States.
And again, her record as prosecutor was used against her, this time by members of her own party.
She put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana. She blocked evidence that would have freed an innocent man from death row until the courts forced her to do so. And she fought to keep cash bail system in place that impacts poor people in the worst kind of way.
As the elected Attorney General of California, I did the work of significantly reforming the criminal justice system of a state of 40 million people, which became a national model for the work that needs to be done. And I am proud of that work.
Harris bowed out and backed Joe Biden, ultimately being selected as his vice presidential candidate. And she had a pretty strong campaign, certainly winning out most of her clashes with her VP rival Mike Pence.
I will not sit here and be lectured by the vice president on what it means to enforce the laws of our country. I am the only one on this stage who has personally prosecuted everything from child sexual assault to homicide. I'm the only one on this stage who has prosecuted the big banks for taking advantage of America's homeowners. I am the only one on this stage who prosecuted for-profit colleges for taking advantage of our veterans. And the reality of this is that we are talking about an election in 27 days, where last week the President of the United States took a debate stage in front of 70 million Americans and refused to condemn white supremacists.
Not true.
He, on the issue of Charlottesville, where people were peacefully protesting the need for racial justice, where a young woman was killed, and on the other side there were neo-Nazis carrying tiki torches
shouting racial epithets, anti-Semitic slurs. And Donald Trump, when asked about it, said there were fine people on both sides.
But she hasn't had a strong 4 years as vice president, and some Democrats are spinning that this week, saying that Biden was deliberately keeping her in the shadows in order to make himself look good. And certainly that sounds like it was going on to a degree, but she didn't perform particularly well in the duties she did have either. She was told to sort out immigration, for example, a hospital pass if ever there was one, and she seemed uncomfortable with taking a harder stance on immigration in an early visit to Mexico.
I want to be clear to folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border. Do not come. Do not come.
And was criticized for not visiting the border earlier in her tenure.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
And this is something Republicans are going to be all over. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, for example, already leading the charge along with the presenter here on Fox News recently.
Do you have plans to visit the border?
Not today. But I have before and I'm sure I will again.
You know, I remember that like it was yesterday, March 22nd, 2021. Let's bring in Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott. She laughed, and it sort of became a thing, Governor, where those who were quick to criticize her were saying, you know, laughing Kamala, I think the President Trump. But that was a moment where she could have taken this extremely seriously, what was happening, let people know what she was doing about it. But she didn't, and she still hasn't. Welcome, Governor.
Well, thank you, Sandra. So you're spot on. But very importantly, that's not the only time that she laughed about what she was going to be doing on the border. And as our fellow Americans know, this is not a laughing matter. This is quite literally a matter of life and death. There have been far too many Americans, including Jocelyn, right here in the state of Texas, who lost their lives. Jocelyn was a 12-year-old girl who was raped and killed by two illegal immigrants. And so this is deadly dangerous. And what Americans need to understand is it looks like that person is going to be the Democrat nominee. She had one job, and that is to secure the border. She was the border czar. And she gets a grade of F minus for her job on that border because we've had the largest number of illegal border crossings ever in the history of the country, not including more than just the murderers and rapists, but also an all-time record high of terrorists.
However, one area she will have a clear advantage over both Joe Biden and Donald Trump is when it comes to abortion. Tapping into the anger from women at the rowing back of their rights will be key to the campaign, and she has been strong on the issue.
Do you not trust women to know what is in their own best interest? You, some legislator in some state capital, the majority of whom are not women, are in a better position to tell her what she should do?
Some of the attack lines from the Republicans feel a little bit rushed. Donald Trump, for example, calling her smiling Kamala and saying that she's unhinged. And he does that as she tends to smile quite a lot during speeches and debates, which leads to a suggestion that she's not taking things very seriously. Others are a bit strange. Here, for example, is something of an attack video put together by the New York Post, accusing her of having word salads.
I can imagine what can be and be unburdened by what has been, you know?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
There are those who are unable to see what can be, but there are many more who are able to see what can be unburdened by what has been.
Remember Venn diagrams, those three circles, right? And then let's just see where they overlap.
You will not be surprised because I have constructed a Venn diagram on this. Remember those three circles, how they overlap?
I love Venn diagrams, so I just do. Whenever you're dealing with conflict, pull out a Venn diagram, right? And so, you know, the three circles.
Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
But is there a path for Kamala Harris to actually win? I mean, she's going up against one of the most famous people in the world, a man who's just been the subject of an assassination attempt, a man who has a much smarter campaign team around him this year than ever before, and a machine which will be hard to stop. So what's the argument for Kamala Harris? Firstly, she'll benefit by just not being Joe Biden. She'll seem so much more together and energetic just by dint of having followed him into the fray. She's arguably a bold choice as well, potentially first black woman president. It'll be too much for some parts of America, but will feel like a change of direction to others. And there's a short run-in, which I think is beneficial actually to a new candidate, run a high-energy, laser-focused campaign around key swing states and hope for the best. Also, it's flipped the narrative on Trump. Trump was the younger, energetic man, even though he's got some mental difficulties of his own. Whether that's actually cognitive decline or just that he's a bit mental, we're not 100% sure. And he has become the old guy now in the race. She's nearly 20 years younger than him. There's also the hope from the Democrats that Donald Trump is just going to come off more poorly than he has been. He has millions of acolytes who you won't change the view of, but there are many Republicans who don't like him and even fear him and what he would do for a second term in America. If he genuinely believes and leans into this narrative, for example, that he was saved from the bullet by God and is destined to rule, I mean, I can see that argument going both ways with the public. And the early narrative from Harris is also appealing. The prosecutor versus the criminal.
As many of you know, before I was elected as vice president, before I was elected as United States Senator, I was the elected Attorney General, as I've mentioned, of California. And before that, I was a courtroom prosecutor. In those roles, I took on perpetrators of all kinds. Predators who abused women. Fraudsters who ripped off consumers. Cheaters who broke the rules for their own gain. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type.
It's an uphill battle for Kamala Harris, make absolutely no mistake about it. But we all thought Donald Trump would lose in 2016. Maybe we shouldn't be so complacent in thinking he'll win in 2024. This episode of Let Me Explain, produced and presented by myself, Sean Defoe, with the series editor, John Kyo. And I'll chat to you next week.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.